You're listening to a Stranger podcast, www.thestranger.com.
Hi, you're listening to Invisible, the Stranger's weekly conversation with people in art. I'm Jen Graves, and I'm at the Fry Art Museum with Patricia Piccinini. Hi.
Hello.
We are backstage just before the beginning, the opening party for your new show. And the show is called Hug, Recent Work by Patricia Piccinini. It's the first U.S. survey of her work, and it was organized by Robin Hild, and also by Patricia Hickson of the Des Moines Art Center in Iowa, where it will be going after its time here. So, the show is sculpture, installation, video, drawings, photography, all sorts of things. And the work dates from when are the dates of the work?
Around 2002.
Okay.
To 2006, sort of now. 2007.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And I guess, you know, as an overview question, I'm just curious about how you got started on this line, which is essentially the way I'm looking at it is about new life and old life and the relationship kind of there, whether it's new life in technology, new life in genetics, or just sort of some sense of new life that is on the verge of being and that we're either hopeful for or afraid about, or actual new life, children, and old life, sort of endangered species, lives that we value for being old or don't value for being old. When did you start working on this and how did that begin for you?
Well, I'm really interested fundamentally in the changing definition of what we consider natural and what we consider artificial, and how that affects the way we see ourselves. And things like the ability to create new life, or things like genetic engineering, stem cell research, change that for us, change the way we see ourselves, change what it means to be human. And I've always been interested in those kinds of things, and perhaps I've been interested in them because I guess I grew up in an environment where there was someone in my family that was really ill, and then they died, and so I've been interested in things like medicine from that point of view, a personal point of view. And
how old were you when that happened?
Oh, my mother was sick throughout my teenage years, and then she died. And I guess that's why I've been interested in science, because I've wanted it to help me and my family, and in some ways I still feel that I'm waiting for science to help me and our society, and I still believe in science, but I worry about repercussions. Yeah. So a lot of the works in the show deal with one aspect or other of those themes. Yeah.
And they sort of tread the boundary between dread and fear and hope and promise.
I don't make any value judgments on these new technologies. They're just part of the narrative. They're kind of like a given. I set up these scenarios, and the viewer can come up to them with their own history and imagination, say, and interpret them in the way they see it. But I do hope that I raise some pretty interesting questions about what it is to live a life today.
There are two works in the second gallery that are, you were mentioning them earlier, as kind of examples of reverses of each other, basically.
Yeah.
Do you want to talk about those two?
Well, your You're mentioning the bodyguard for the helmeted honeyeater, which is
mm-hmm.
a creature that I've designed mm-hmm. to help an endangered species survive. So that work is about how far we will go to undo the damage that we've done to the environment.
Mm-hmm.
And
they appear in photographs also, as well yeah. as a sculpture.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so I've made this bodyguard for this bird that's almost extinct. And I'm interested in the idea that we really want a kind of quick fix technological solution to help us with this problem
mm-hmm.
rather than do the kind of more mundane and perhaps not easier thing. And that is to stop encroaching on the environment of these birds by stopping logging, for example. So that is an example of nature that's been animated by technology. So this is a man-made creature, technological mm-hmm. creature. The next work that you're mentioning is Cycle Pups, which is technology that's been animated by nature. So basically I've made these baby motorcycles and they're kind of tadpole-like
yeah.
like creatures, and the idea is that they're going to grow up into the motorcycles that we see on the road. Interestingly, that scenario is not as comfortable to us as the first one.
Mm-hmm.
But in fact, it's just as likely and it's just as inevitable. And the idea that machines could grow and evolve and be autonomous is not my idea. It's an idea that's already there.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just part of the everyday world.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what the work is about.
Mm.
That somebody like me could imagine a machine being an infant. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And invent a bodyguard for a bird that needs one.
Yeah.
Sort of a fantasy bodyguard.
Yeah. Know? Well, I mean, I don't really think that is the solution to the problem. But, I just put it forward as a proposition.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I sort of say, well, is this how far we want to go? And in fact, in my country, in Australia, we've put millions of dollars towards cloning a creature called a Tasmanian tiger, which we shot. There was a bounty on it, so they were all killed in the 1950s. Mm-hmm. And we've got a few remnants of them in formaldehyde.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a real idea in the public's mind that we can revive, we can resuscitate this creature and bring it to life by cloning it. Yeah.
Is that working?
Having a good crack at it, but it's unlikely because the DNA is just a bit old and it's deteriorated.
Mm.
But it's a real, it has a real presence in the Australian public psyche. The idea that we can undo what we've done,
mm-hmm.
and that's very exciting.
Mm-hmm.
That's much more exciting than preserving some of the animals that we have that are dying out.
Mm-hmm.
Putting those millions towards helping them.
Right.
Yeah.
Give rebirth to this. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kind of legendary.
Yeah.
The issue of birth is one that comes up most specifically in... It comes up all over this work, but
yeah.
Most specifically in... Is it called The Gathering, the video?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's a video... perhaps we could talk about the two videos, not the one of the bird, but and in The Gathering, there's you see a sort of domestic scene. There's a girl lying on the carpet, and it looks as though she's the sort of subject of the video, and then there are these sort of furry, slightly mysterious looking creatures that we never quite get a look at, and that we've kind of seen before, but never in this way. They just look sort of like other animals, and then not.
Yeah.
They're
conceivable. They're unfamiliar,
but
we can imagine them being
mm-hmm.
potentially real.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And And then there's this the climactic moment.
Yeah.
And quite a dramatic, very quiet, incredibly dramatic moment. Can you talk a little bit?
Well, that work was about imagining where new life would belong, like, or where it can live. And they're the sorts of questions that I ask throughout all the pieces in the work. Like, if we can create new life, what's our responsibility towards it? I mean, I don't make a judgment on whether it's a good or a bad thing. I just know it's happening and it will happen. I'm just interested in how we're going to relate to it. And also, I'm interested in the failures of technology, like in the duds. Will we love the failures as much as we will love the successes of these new technologies? And in this video, I imagine where these creatures could potentially live. And they live with us in our homes. And in the film, they come out and they surround this girl that we're already a bit worried about because she's just lying on the floor in the master bedroom, which is already a bit spooky. Like, she shouldn't be in an adult's bedroom. But at least she's not dead because she's breathing. And these creatures approach her. And like you said, they're not really scary. But because we've never seen them before, as a viewer, we're sort of wondering what's going on. It's a bit confronting. And then when a mother rears up and shows her children, the little girl, we realize that, in fact, it's not about us. It's about them. And the whole piece is saying that they have culture and that they have a way of being. And they have a right to just be. And it might be our nightmare. I don't know if you ever shared your house with a mouse. That's scary enough. But because you can't control it, or the idea that they're there somewhere,
doing where?
Something.
Yeah.
You know. but they have a right to live as well, and they're kind of uncontrollable. And that's another thing that I'm interested in: the idea of control. Like, I create all these creatures. And place them in scenarios that says, well, we think that we can control what we create. We think that we can go into nature and change it and manipulate it and still control it. Mm-hmm. But in fact, that's not the case, because even when they just reproduce, then they have a sense of autonomy. They have their own destiny. They have feelings that we can't control. Mm-hmm. Those fundamental feelings. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
What you were talking a little bit earlier about how these changes and in technology make changes in the definition of being human.
Yeah.
Were there any? I'm curious about your experience. You have two kids.
Yeah.
Both fairly young. Yeah. Right. And I'm curious about how your experiences with that. Function of your body, with the reproductive function of your body, had an effect on your conception of yourself as a human. Because that's, of course, something that we all know that we can do, but I think it's something that...
Yeah, well, I think having children, I just personally, apart from my art life, it's just made me feel much more animal-like. Like, I often imagine myself... It sounds really strange, but I often... feel like I'm a bear or something. I mean, it's ridiculous. I don't know why I'm telling you. But when I nurse my child, I can't see myself as a human in a kind of a hierarchical situation. And that's what the leather landscape is about, that as humans, we've often conceived of ourselves as different from other living creatures, and different in kind. Mm-hmm. Like, really, there's a space between us. But now we know that we're not different in kind, we're actually just different in degree, and they're even small degrees. Mm-hmm. And that is kind of confronting, to think that we're not just animal-like, but we are animals. And if So getting back to your question, my personal life, actually I love that.
What about the other video? I don't know the title of it. It's called...
The other work is called When My Baby, mm-hmm. When My Baby. Mm-hmm. And it's about the idea of being open to other ways of life. And it is inspired by a meeting I had with a Papua New Guinean tree kangaroo. And we came together at one moment and she recognized me and I recognized her. And it was this... Mm. pretty fundamental moment in my life, and I know I'm just projecting onto her my experience and it's not really real, but I did want to reproduce it in digital form, so I've made this work where you see this form and slowly becomes something that shyly opens up to you and reveals themselves to you, and they have a beautiful, beautiful smile and a heart of gold, and it's just very simple and endearing, and it's just a good for me a lot of the work is about I feel therefore I think, mm-hmm. so I try and create a feeling in the viewer, and empathy is a very important part of the work. Like I hope that the viewer can empathize with the creatures I create. And the way I do that is I present them in a way where people can actually interact with them in a kind of cerebral way. Mm-hmm. They can approach them. It's not a really confronting situation where you're just shocked or there is and you have to turn away because it's just too ridiculous. Mm-hmm. It's a kind of it's kind of very warm work that invites the viewer to come close and think about their situation. And in fact, a lot of the work is about the actual characters, the actual creatures themselves. Sure, it's about all those other ideas like genetic engineering, but really, in the end, the first layer of the work is just the creature themselves and their characters, what they show us about themselves.
Thanks for taking all this time. I really appreciate it.
Pleasure.